Lord, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light for our path. Thank you, God, for the gift of your word. I pray, Lord, that what I say during the next few minutes will be pleasing to you, God, and that we will never forget that never forget to turn to your word for guidance in our life. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. When you think about one of your favorite songs, what sort of feelings does it stir up in you? Do you maybe feel a little bit of joy because you associate it with a happy event that happened in your life? Or maybe you feel a little twinge of sadness because that's the song that got you through a bad breakup. And, you know, maybe you get a hearty dose of nostalgia because it's a song that reminds you of your childhood. And there's no end, really, to the types of feelings that songs can stir up inside of us, because songs are really powerful. Songs, to me, seem like one of the purest forms and deepest forms of human expression. They kind of emanate from the inner parts of a person, and then they touch the hearer deep down inside as well. Through songs, some of the deepest emotions that humans feel are shared. Love, hate, joy, anger, disappointments, dreams, hopes, fears, and hope for the future. We bond over songs. We experience them both in powerful ways, both individually and then together as a group. It's one of the reasons why concerts are so much fun. You know, you get a bunch of people in one room for one thing, focusing on the music, having this shared experience together, and that's a great thing. That's why concerts are great, because songs are powerful. And we in our culture, we take songs and we kind of build a cultural canon around them, and we use them to delineate eras. So, you know, you hear certain songs and you know, like, this is from the 60s and this is from the 70s and this reminds me of the 80s. Or in my case, if you spent a large portion of your life growing up in the 90s, you might think of bad boy bands and grunge rock, because that's what the 90s were. Music is powerful, and it sticks in our mind. And when you hear a song that you remember, it can bring up a lot of nostalgia, and you get a lot of joy from it. But songs reach down to people through the ages. A lot of my favorite songs were from 10 or 15 years before I was born, and it's that way as well. Many people love music that was decades before they were born, and it's because a good song is timeless. And as Christians, we have our own special shared songbook, one that connects us to the original authors in the Bible, but also to thousands of years of people who've used them in their devotions, in their prayers, and then as they get together as one to sing them in worship. And that songbook is the Book of Psalms. And if we use the Psalms, they can get in and change our hearts, just like our favorite songs that we have do as well. When we use the Psalms, we are attaching ourselves to songs that the church has used throughout its history and has gone to for centuries. And if we use them personally, they can also affect our lives and become our own personal songs that help guide us and point us as we walk through life. And that's what we're going to be talking about for the next few weeks in worship. We're going to be looking at the Psalms, looking at the different types that are there, and seeing a little bit about what they have to say to us today. And it seems like if you want to start a sermon series on Psalms, you should probably start with the first Psalm, which we sang a little bit earlier, but which I want to read a portion to you in the Common English Bible as well. It says, "The truly happy person doesn't follow wicked advice, doesn't stand on the road of sinners, and doesn't sit with the disrespectful. Instead of doing those things, these persons love the Lord's instructions, and they recite God's instruction day and night. They're like the tree planted by streams of water, which bears fruit at just the right time, and whose leaves don't fade. Whatever they do succeeds." This psalm is the first one that you encounter when you open up the Book of Psalms for a reason. Because it's not only providing good advice for life, saying, you know, hey, don't listen to what bad people have to say. You know, focus on what God has to say. Make that what guides your life. But it also sets the tone for the entire Book of Psalms and for the body of scripture that we have. It says that the truly happy person loves God's instructions, and they recite it both day and night. Some Bible translations use the word meditate instead of recite, but I like recite because it gets at really what meditation is in biblical terms. Meditation in the Bible means that you're thinking on repeating, reciting scripture, reading it slowly, letting you think about what it means to you, what it might mean to others. It's just spending time with it, letting it get into your heart. And the instructions of God that it's talking about in this passage, it's not meaning just the law of God that you find in the Old Testament, but it's used to describe God's will for us in a broader sense, his justice, his righteousness, the fact that he wants people to be at peace, and this is a way to attain peace. So already the first thing that you encounter in the book of Psalms is a call to rely on the instruction of God instead of those of the wicked. That's the way of the truly happy person. And Psalms 1 is important because it promotes the benefit of meditation on the word of God to cover yourselves in the teaching of the Lord and take comfort from it. But it also sets up the Psalms as more than just a collection of songs. They're also a part of the word of God, the entire Bible. So in that way, it's important. They're worthy of attention and focus and deep thought. They're also able to comfort and touch our hearts. And they've done that for thousands of years. Why have the Psalms had such longevity? Why are we still reading these things that were written so long ago? And why do they have such a prominent place in the life of the church? And I don't think it's just because they're in the Bible, because there are parts of the Bible that we don't read and worship very often, but the Psalms we always go to. And I think it's because they connect to us in a real and personal way. And what I mean by that is the autobiographical, personal, really raw nature of what's being said and taught and written in the Psalms, it connects to us just like the modern songs that we like today. The writers of the Psalms wrote songs where they poured their heart out on the page, and they helped us to see that, you know, we're not alone in feeling the way that we sometimes do. They were feeling it back then, and we're feeling it today. And for this reason, the Psalms are an important and helpful addition to our devotional life. Another benefit that the Psalms have are that they give us permission to express everything that we're feeling to God. God wants us to communicate with him, and the Psalms are a great example of having transparency towards God, not holding back that part of you that you're feeling like, oh, I can't share this with God, because he knows it already and he wants to hear from you. And the Psalms gives us permission to just tell God what it is that's going on in your life. They didn't hold anything back. You see the full range of human emotions there in the Psalms on the page. You see everything from anger and a desire for vengeance in Psalm 94, where it says, "My whole being clings to you. Your strong hand upholds me. But what about those people who want to destroy me? Let them go into the bowels of the earth. Let their blood flow by the sword. Let them be food for wild jackals. But the king should rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by God should give praise when the mouths of liars are shut for good." Pretty intense stuff, huh? Yeah. it's sometimes shocking to see these feelings, you know, put out there, but they're real feelings, you know, the feeling of injustice and oppression. People feel that and they say that, you know, God, my hope is in you, but what am I gonna do about this situation? What am I gonna do? I'm angry, I'm mad. You gotta help me. But then you also see on the other end of things, you see great joy shown in the Psalms, like in Psalm 126. It says, "When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, 'The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad.'" You see here people rejoicing in the fact that God has taken them through things. They've gone through stuff in life and have come out the other side. They're praising God for that, and they're looking forward to what's going to happen in the future. But then also in Psalms, you see this, you see the expression of some of the inner feelings that we feel that we sometimes don't want to share, that we want to hide from other people. Psalms that are admitting to depression and sadness. You see it in Psalm 31. It says, "Have mercy on me, Lord, because I'm depressed. My vision fails because of my grief, as do my spirit and my body. My life is consumed with sadness. My ears are consumed with groaning. Strength fails me because of my suffering. My bones dry up. I'm a joke to all my enemies, still worse to my neighbors. I scare my friends. And whoever sees me in the street runs away. I am forgotten like I'm dead, completely out of mind. I'm like a piece of pottery shattered. You also see in the Psalms a feeling that we comment, that I think a lot of people have probably felt at one point or other in their life, and that's fear. My heart pounds in my chest because death's terrors have reached me. Fear and trembling have come upon me. I'm shaking all over. I say to myself, I wish I had wings like a dove. I'd fly away and rest. I'd run away so far. I'd live in the desert. I'd hurry to my hideout, far from the rushing wind and the storm. So see, the psalmist is saying, I'm scared. And I think there's always situations in our life that come up where we might be scared about something. And the psalmist is taking it to God. He's sharing how he feels. And just so I don't make it seem like the Psalms are full of like doom and gloom and stuff like that, because that stuff is there and it's an important part of life. But I don't want to overlook the most important thing that is in the Psalms and what you see, what they're often remembered for. And that's the feeling that God is worthy of praise and worship. And you see that in Psalm 105. Give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make his deeds known to all people. Sing to God. Sing praises to the Lord. Dwell on all his wondrous works. Give praise to God's holy name. Let the hearts rejoice of all those seeking the Lord. Pursue the Lord in his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wondrous works he has done, all his marvelous works and the justice he declared. So the Psalms, they're songs that reveal the many parts of the human experience. And they also show how we're able to have freedom to express to God what it is that's going on in our life, that we don't have to hold things back. And so they have ways of benefiting us in our spiritual life. And so I look at a couple of ways that we can take them and say, like, how can we take these songs that were written so long ago and incorporate them into our life today? Well, one good way is just to start reading them. Reading and meditating on the Psalms are a good way to pull yourself out and think about God a little bit, add them into your daily routine. I would recommend finding a modern translation. I've been reading from the Common English Translation, which I like. It puts them into language that is much more clear. But there's also the NIV and the Message. So there's a lot of ways that you can start reading them. And I would challenge you as we go through this sermon series to read a few Psalms a day. You'll get through them over the course of the period, and it'll help you connect to what's going on in worship and get you ready for the big Psalms cantata that all the musicians are planning. So it's a good way to participate. Another way is to sing the Psalms. We did some of that today. In the hymnal in front of you, there is every psalm set to music, so you can sing. You can find them there, or you can just get on YouTube and type a psalm in, and you'll find many different ways that they're performed, and it's a way to engage with them. And then the other good way to experience the Psalms is to pray them. Adding them to your daily prayers is a great way to learn them, to add them to your ways of expressing yourself towards God, and to connect with the people who've done this throughout the centuries. A way to start that is to find a prayer book. In your bulletin, in the grow section, there is some resources. I put one that I use, the Divine Hours. It's really great. It's a daily prayer book that has the Psalms all through them, and it's a great way to connect and to start a good rhythm of prayer and to use the Psalms while you're doing it. Because it's important to read them, to sing them, and experience them, and in part because of what I talked about earlier about how it gives us freedom to express ourselves to God. But there's an even greater reason that we should turn to the Psalms in times of trouble and in our daily lives. Because the writer of the Psalms, they found themselves in some really tough personal situations. And what they feel is real, and we still experience it today. But the thing that you see in the Psalms is that regardless of what was going on in the lives of the writers emotionally, physically, or spiritually, they all eventually pointed themselves back to their ultimate hope. And that ultimate hope is God. Looking back at the previous example I cited from Psalm 31 as an example of depression, I'll be honest with you guys, I didn't read the whole psalm because I stopped at the intense part. So we'll go back, and he starts here. The psalmist starts asking for mercy. He's feeling depression. He's a joke to his enemies. His friends are scared. People turn from him and run in the street. He's in a pretty bad place. He feels like pottery that's been smashed. But that's not where the psalm ends. He says, "How great is the goodness that you've reserved for those that honor you, that you commit to those who take refuge in you in the sight of everyone. You hide them in the shelter of your wings, safe from human scheming. You conceal them in a shelter, safe from accusing tongues. Bless the Lord, because he has wondrously revealed his faithful love to me when I was like a city under siege. When I was panicked, I said, 'I'm cut off from your eyes.' But you heard my request for mercy. When I cried out to you for help, all you who are faithful, love the Lord. The Lord protects those who are loyal, but he pays the proud back to the fullest degree. All you who wait for the Lord, be strong and let your heart take courage." The psalmist's ultimate hope was in God. He was feeling broken, destroyed, sad, but he knew that with God, he could make it through these. This wasn't the end of the story for him. And we have that ultimate hope as well. We're connected to that because the hope that they turn to is the same hope that we can turn to today. The Psalms contain some of the greatest praises to God that have ever been written, but they also show us people who are hurting, broken, and in despair. And they show that in the middle of all of that, these people had something to lean on. They could lean on the steadfast and never changing force in their life, and that's God, who hasn't changed ever. He's there, he is still the same. They called on God, knowing that there wasn't anything that God wasn't capable of taking care of, and that to praise him at all times, even in the middle of trials and suffering and despair and depression and fear, that would lead them through to the other side of it. This hope is clearly expressed in Psalm 62, whose words I'll leave you with today. "Only in God do I find rest. My salvation comes from him. Only God is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I won't be shaken anymore. How long will all of you attack others? How long will you tear them down as if they were leaning walls or broken down fences? The only desire of this people is to bring others down low. With their mouths they bless, but inside they are cursing. But oh, I must find rest in God only, because my hope comes from him. Only God is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I will not be shaken. My deliverance and glory depend on God. God is my strong rock. My refuge is in God. All you people, trust in him at all times. Pour out your hearts before him. God is our refuge. Amen." Let us pray. Gracious God, thank you that you are never changing, that regardless of where we are or what we're going through in life, we can lean on you, just like your word has shown us, that in the middle of situations where we don't see a way out, God, to lean on you is to turn it over to the person who is capable of seeing us through, and we give you thanks for that. Help us to remember that always we are not alone. In Jesus' name, amen.